Hello, my name is Mike and it's great to be with you. I can't speak for others, but I feel like I'm coming out of a long, dark winter after 3 months of lockdown. We can see friends, we can see family across the state, no curfew, no masks required outdoors. It's a new era. There's so much personal adjustment that we're all making. Some are leaping into the lowering of the restrictions. Others are being more cautious. That's all totally understandable. We're all so different from each other, but we're united in our love and service of Jesus. And it's a focus on serving others that we have in our series today, How to Grow in Faith. I've chosen to approach this topic by asking four simple questions. Why, how, where, and when? So first one, why? Why serve others? The primary motive for serving others is, of course, the example of Jesus himself, who was once described as the man for others. In his letter to the Philippian Christians, Paul writes, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." Jesus came down to earth from the wonder and glory of heaven. And what did he choose to become for us? A servant. Throughout his earthly ministry, we see his service to others time and time again, teaching the seekers, healing the sick, comforting the bereaved, feeding the hungry, saving lives in a storm, and so it goes on. Therefore, it should be no surprise to us that on Jesus' very last night with his disciples, before his arrest and death on the cross, Jesus washed the feet of his close band of followers, even the feet of Judas Iscariot, who would betray him that very night. This act of service was the most menial and demeaning of any household job at that time. But Jesus did it and told the 12 disciples, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than their master." God's way is to serve. Jesus was selfless and showed us the true heart of God, a heart that longs to reach out, to care, to help, to heal, and to save. Why serve others? Because Jesus served us and gave up his life for us. This central truth encouraged Paul to write, "Christ's love compels us. He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Why serve others? The cross of Jesus tells us why. And now second, how? How are we to serve others? The Bible has so much to teach us about how to serve others. And here are some key aspects of Christian service. I just want to mention three. The first is that it's to be done willingly. The Apostle Peter addresses Christian leaders at the end of his first letter and says to them, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve." There is to be a willing and obedient attitude in our service of others. Serving others with a grudging heart isn't really Christian service at all, is it? It is the willingness of Ruth to follow Naomi, her mother-in-law, into Judah, and for Ruth to leave her own homeland of Moab, which is so very touching in Ruth chapter 1. Both are widows. And there is no expectation by the elderly Naomi and for the much younger Ruth to care for her in her old age. But Ruth declares to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Friends, is it any wonder that Ruth, with her willing and loving servant heart, became part of the dynasty leading to the birth of the Savior? You see, Ruth would become the great-grandmother of King David. God honors the willing heart. The second aspect of how we serve is by sharing. In our series in the book of Acts earlier this year, we learned how the members of the early church in Jerusalem shared what they had with each other. And we read, "All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need." As we've been hearing, November the 7th is the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. Barnabas Fund and Open Doors and many other Christian agencies do great work in meeting the needs of Christians across the globe and share their gifts and expertise, and supporters share their money to bless such projects of care and compassion for those in the midst of persecution. Open Doors tells the story of Ativi from Nigeria. Her life was turned upside down when members of the extremist group Boko Haram attacked her village in northern Nigeria earlier this year. Ativi was forced to flee for her life, leaving everything she knew behind. But even when she returned, nothing felt the same. Ativi had nothing left, and the trauma she had experienced left her struggling to cope. Then Ativi came across Open Doors' local partners in Nigeria, who ran livelihood training and trauma counselling for Christian women rebuilding their lives in the aftermath of extremist attacks. Ativi learnt how to use a sewing machine, how to build relationships with customers, and found healing after the trauma she'd experienced. Here in Australia, we can share our home, our time, our clothes, our food, and our skills with others. Again, the scriptures are full of sharing. Remember the young boy who gave his packed lunch to Jesus? Just 5 loaves and 2 fish, but it blessed over 5,000. And then there's Paul, who wrote of his time with the believers in Thessalonica. He wrote, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you." Service to others means sharing. It means serving willingly. And third, it means serving sacrificially. Once again, we go back to the example and teaching of Jesus. On one occasion, he taught his disciples that true greatness lay in being the servant of others. "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant," he said. "And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Disciples of Jesus, you see, are to put themselves last and others first. That's hard. That's sacrifice. But as Jesus famously went on to say on that very occasion, for even the Son of Man, a title Jesus often gave himself, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to this earth to serve and give his life for our forgiveness and salvation. We will all have read books about great and courageous Christian men and women of God who sacrificed so much to serve the Lord Jesus. We will know stories of persecuted believers today who sacrifice so much and risk so much to serve God and to serve others. And there will perhaps have been times in our own lives and the lives of Christian friends and family around us where serving others in the name of Jesus has been costly. Costly in time, costly financially perhaps, emotionally, even physically. And yet we know that such service has been honouring to God. You've not wanted to be served, but to serve. We thought about why to serve others and how to serve them. Now we come to where to serve them. Steve Claydon of Saddleback Church in the USA has written, serve where you're gifted, serve where you're needed. Those are very wise and helpful words to us. How has God gifted you to serve? People sometimes say, don't they, I don't think I have any special gift to offer, really. Well, if that's you, be encouraged. The New Testament is very clear that God's people have a gift, each one of us, and a role to play inside the church and outside the church. There are several lists of gifts in the Bible, and they're not exhaustive. God has gifted his people in a whole multitude of ways. In 1 Corinthians 12, which we heard read earlier, Paul writes, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. You and I have been gifted by God. That's the clear teaching here. But not for us to be blessed by such a gift or gifts, but for others to be blessed through us for the common good, for the body of Christ. You probably have a fair idea of where your gifts lie in terms of serving others. If you're not sure, ask your growth group or Pulse small group members. Ask a close Christian friend. We can all be reassured by Paul's words in Ephesians. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There are good works out there for us with our names on them. So let's serve where we're gifted and serve where we're needed. In the church, at St. Alfred's or St. Luke's. Talk to the staff or ring the office if you want to learn about opportunities to serve as both our churches open up after lockdown. Serving in your family. Sometimes they just need our presence, don't they? They need a meal cooked, a lift to the hospital. Serving in your friendship circle, praying, supporting, being there. In your local community, think of Link, think of the A-team. In your nation, in public service, politics, missionary endeavor, and in the wider world. Friends of my wife Jo and mine, They heard of a need in Belgium to work among students in Brussels. So they got in touch with CMS, went to St. Andrew's Hall. They're both retired in their mid to late 60s, and they've just arrived in Brussels and are learning French to work with students in the university there. It's remarkable. But they heard of a need and they went. I'm very aware how many people are serving inside and outside St. Luke's and St. Alfred's. In fact, the take-up for the VCE prayer list for students has been remarkable and wonderful, and a real sign of people wanting to serve others in prayer. And as a parent of one of those VCE students, I am very, very grateful and appreciative. And of course, as we think about prayer, we are to be praying to God on a regular basis and asking, Lord, how and where do you want me to serve? What can I do for you and for others? And so finally, to when? When can I serve others? Well, of course, we know the answer to that, don't we? We can serve at any time. And yet so often, we can wait for that tap on the shoulder, which perhaps never comes. And we ask ourselves, are we really needed? Or will we be any good at that kind of service? Well, Larry Osborne, in his material for this series, has a delightful way of putting it. If the barn's burning, grab a bucket. And I think that's in the Aussie psyche, isn't it? It's a have-a-go country. So I encourage all of us to have a go. Paul writes to the Galatian Christians, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So let's seize the opportunities, friends. Let's be willing and eager to serve others and so follow the example of the Lord Jesus himself, who came not to be served, but to serve. Let's follow in the footsteps of our servant King. Amen.